Welcome to Just a Minute.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
Hello, my name is Nicholas Parsons, and as the minute waltz fades away, it's my huge pleasure to welcome our many listeners, not only in Great Britain, but also around the world, and also to welcome to the show four talented personalities from our show business galaxy, and they are seated on my right, Tony Hawkes and Paul Sinner, and seated on my left, Richard Herring and Jenny Eclair. Please welcome all four of them. Beside me sits Shannon Leonard. She's going to help me with the score. She's going to blow the whistle when the 60 seconds have elapsed. And this particular edition of Just a Minute is coming from Bridlington, and we are part of the Arts Festival here in this delightful town. And we have a lovely Bridlington audience here in the Spa Theatre to cheer us on our way as we begin the show with Tony Hawkes. Tony, oh, what an apt subject to start the show with, Yorkshire puddings. Tell us something about that subject in this game, starting now.
There are many different kinds of puddings in the world, let's face it. But of them all, surely Yorkshire pudding is the finest. Yay! Can you imagine eating a pudding that was made in Lancashire with your Sunday roast? No! I can feel the audience getting behind me in my tirade. Of course, if I was in Manchester, I might say a different thing. But that's another matter. Take a little bit of flour, water, milk, whatever you've got lying around, bit of dripping, whack it in the pan. I don't know how to do it, actually. I'm just guessing, but I've had some wonderful Yorkshire puddings in my time, particularly in Halifax, which is a place I often go to when there's nowhere else.
And Jenny, you've challenged.
Only because he hesitated.
Right, so Jenny, that's a correct challenge. You get a point for that. Then you take over the subject, and there are 14 seconds still available. Yorkshire puddings starting now.
Interestingly enough, I once saw my sister regurgitate an entire Yorkshire pudding on a flight from Berlin to London back in the 60s. There is a reason for this, which is too long-winded to...
In this game, whoever is speaking when the whistle goes gains an extra point, and of course it was Jenny Eclair, and she's the only one to have scored at the end of that round. So we now move on, and we'll ask Paul Sinner, will you begin the next round? Oh, another lovely Yorkshire subject, boycotts. 60 seconds starting now.
Well, might there be a frisson in the room, for we are in Yorkshire, and of course there is no boycotts, there is only one boycott. Well, there you go. There is some agreement. The word has changed its meaning over the years. It used to mean that people wouldn't go to the Olympic Games. But now to boycott is to take a sport and drain all the joy and life.
Richard, you've challenged.
I would say it was a hesitation.
It was. The trouble is he was playing the audience.
He was. Understand.
That's the thing about this game. If you go well, you want to wait for the audience, and yet you can't wait for the audience. But, Richard, it was a hesitation, so we give you a point for that. And there are 37 seconds. Boycotts starting now.
I think I should really try and boycott this round myself. I feel strongly that the subject of boycotts...
Paul, yeah. Challenge.
Hesitation.
There was an
there was one at the beginning. Thanks for letting it go.
It is true, Richard, you did begin with
I did, yeah. Thank you very much. To is human.
Right, there are 30 seconds still available, Paul, and you have boycotts starting now.
I accept that boycott is a legend in many ways, but what can you say about a man so slow that his knighthood, the ceremony by which the Queen knighted him, lasted so long that the Queen had to retire?
Richard,
repetition.
There was,
Queen.
Yes.
Yeah. And repetition of so, but it doesn't really matter.
Yeah.
18 seconds are still available, and Richard is with you. Boycotts starting now.
One of my favourite boycotts was by Geoffrey Boycott himself. When he was meant to be playing in a test match, he pretended he was ill because he didn't want to field, and he went off and played golf instead, which was the reason his test career ended, I believe. That was the last time he...
Paul, challenge.
Deviation. It wasn't the reason his test career ended. It ended because of a rebel tour of South Africa.
I agree with you, Paul, and you have 3 seconds on boycotts starting now.
Undoubtedly his finest innings was in 1979 in the World...
So, Paul Sinner got a number of points in that round, and he's moved forward, he's in the lead. He's one ahead of Richard Herring and Jenny Eclair, and Tony's yet to score, but we've heard from him.
Story of his life.
I should have said he's yet to score any points in this show. Right. Richard, will you begin the next round? The subject is Where I Grew Up. 60 seconds starting now.
Some people would argue that I have not yet grown up, but I was born in the East Riding of Yorkshire in a town called Pocklington, or Pock, as many people will call it around here. Unfortunately, due to my parents' lack of foresight, I moved from that area when I was 4 years old, and I suppose I grew up in Cheddar, in Somerset, a beautiful part of the world, nestling in the Mendip Hills in Somersetshire.
Paul, yes.
A repetition of Somerset, I believe.
I disagree.
No, he said Somersetshire the second time.
Oh.
I caught you out.
Is that a word?
No, it isn't.
It is. Somersetshire. I'm from Somersetshire, and that is what we sometimes call it.
On occasions, I give the benefit of the doubt. And I think, to be fair, I have to give the benefit of the doubt to Paul. And if I can redress the balance later, Richard, I give it back to you. Paul, you've got Where I Grew Up, 35 seconds, starting now.
It's mistakenly believed, thanks to Wikipedia, that I grew up in Luton in Bedfordshire. But I didn't. I was lucky that my father and mother forsook that godforsaken...
Tony Challenge.
I think there was a slight hesitation there.
There was a definite hesitation.
And also, is forsook a word?
Well, yeah. No.
So, Tony, you got in with 25 seconds to go. You got a point for a correct challenge, of course. Where I Grew Up is the subject, and you start now.
The most important thing in life is to grow up in a seaside resort that begins with BR. And I was born in Brighton. There most of my life. I would wander along the beach. Not that it's as magnificent as the north one here, which is...
Richard
Chan. Is there a definition we can say just creeping to the audience? I think should be I think we should just allow that as a new challenge, because he's done it every single time he's spoken.
Richard,
I'm actually from the East Riding of Yorkshire, and if anyone's going to play to the crowd, it is me.
Richard, we've been going for 45 years with this show, and I don't think you can suddenly come along and introduce new rules or anything. Especially if they're going to be to your advantage. Right. So that was an incorrect challenge. It's still with you, Tony, Where I Grew Up, and there are... Oh, there's only 1 second to go. Anyway, 1 second, starting now.
Portsmouth is... Right.
So it's pretty even pegging. They're all about equal at the moment. And, Jenny, we're with you to begin. So, Jenny, the subject I have in front of me is now how to make money. I don't know whether you've made much in your time, but you've... you've certainly been a very
busy... Why do you think I'm here?
How to make money, Jenny, is a subject, and there are 60 seconds starting now.
The easiest way to make money is to buy a clever dog, teach it some tricks, go on Britain's Got Talent and win £500,000. There's nothing right about this business. The other method would be to obtain a really good colour photocopier.
Tony, you challenge us.
What? I don't know where you obtained it. I wouldn't know how to spell it.
I suddenly developed a speech impediment. I am so sorry. I was trying to say colour photocopier.
Ah.
But why were you starting with an F? That's what I want to know.
They'll think when they listen to this show coming out that he pressed his brother in order to censor you. But Tony, it was hesitation.
Yeah.
So, how to make money is with you, and there are 40 seconds starting now.
For me, the easiest way to make money is to sell my body, which I shall be doing after the show as I wander the streets of Bridlington, which will probably bring me in about £3.50.
Richard, your challenge.
It's deviation in a lot of ways, but I don't. I think you would make £3.50. I think it's overestimation as well. I think you might have to pay out £3.50.
No,
anyway.
I'm including that.
Tony, I gave the benefit of the doubt to you last time. I'm going to give it to you this time, Richard, because I don't think Tony walking the streets of Bedlington and trying to make money with his body would have much success at all. So... Richard, you have the subject. 24 seconds. How to make money starting now.
I did try to sell my body to medical science, but they didn't want it. They asked me to pay in order to take it. I think the best way to make money, though, is to get a job at the Royal Mint, where you will literally be out there making money every day, taking banknotes, just paper to begin with.
And Paul challenged?
Hesitation.
There was a hesitation. There's a definite, I'm afraid, Richard. How to make money, Paul, 7 seconds starting now.
Without a shadow of a doubt, the easiest way to make money is to use your imagination and create a world where a teenage wizard gets taught by...
Jenny challenged.
I'd like to take that challenge back. I'm really sorry. I thought he was deviating from making money, but he was referring, of course, to J.K. Rowling, who wrote the books Harry Potter and Maiden. That's why she's called J.K. Rowling in it.
But it was an incorrect challenge, so, Paul, you have another point for that. How to make money, 1/2 second, starting now.
Never read the books, they're kids' stuff.
Right. So, at the end of that round, Paul Sinner's getting lots of points. He's now in the lead. He's 2 ahead of Tony Hawk, 3 ahead of Richard Herring, and 4 ahead of Jenny Eclair. And, Tony, your turn to begin. The subject is family history. Tell us something about that subject in this game, starting now.
I'm very keen on genealogy, and I have traced my ancestry all the way back to my father, who, believe it or not, was born in Bridlington. It's true. He met my mother, possibly at this theatre. She was in a group called the Three Skylarks. He was a stage door Johnny. He went round, took her flowers, and I've been wandering around this town today thinking, this is where I began. It's extraordinary. Moving in some ways. And what's the subject? Yeah.
Richard,
I think it was a hesitation. But he was...
Definitely. He was so moved he came to a halt.
True, I didn't make that up, though. My dad is from Bridlington.
Well, that's all right. Yeah. We believe you.
Do you? Because okay. Yeah, I lie all the time.
Another point to you, Richard. 26 seconds available. Family history starting now.
The thing that I have never understood about family trees is why the line goes through the father each time. That is the one person we can never be sure that you are related to at all. It should go through the maternal line, because we know.
Jenny Challenge.
Two throughs. Through the father, through the mother. Yes.
Well, listen, Jenny, and you have the subject. You have 12 seconds. Family history starting now.
My family history was not deemed interesting enough to do that telly programme, Who Do You Think You Are?
Richard Challenge.
Repetition of you in the title, Who Do You Think You Are? They're very close together. Very close together. And I know that because I was planning on that, just was thinking to myself of mentioning it in my one. I thought, well, I won't do that because there's a repetition.
So I have to be correct within the rules of just a minute and say, Richard, you have a correct challenge, another point to you, and 6 seconds, family history is starting now.
The programme I really like to watch on TV is Who Do You Think One Is? That is a really...
Tony Challenge.
What channel's that on? That's the Queen's channel. Who does one think one is?
You have a challenge in the rules.
Well, there's no programme deviation. There's no such programme as... He said he likes to watch this programme. It doesn't exist. How can he watch it? He lives in a fantasy world.
That's a very good point, isn't it?
Yeah, it is.
Oh, I'll give you the benefit of the doubt and say yes. And you've got him with 1/2 second to go. Family history is starting now.
Gloria Swanson.
So Tony has now moved forward. He's equal with Paul Sinner in the lead, and they're closely followed by the other two. And Paul, we're back with you to begin. The subject is the Happiness Index. 60 seconds starting now.
The Happiness Index, which one must be careful to pronounce with the H intact, is a concept introduced by the King of Bhutan, Jigme Wangchuck, who basically came up with the idea of gross national happiness to measure the elation of his country.
Tony, you challenged me.
Yeah, shame. There was a slight hesitation.
There was, definitely. He was getting so clever, I think he set himself up, wasn't he? Yes. Right, so, Tony, you were correct, challenge. 49 seconds, the happiness index starting now.
I think that the King of Bataan was onto a good thing. It's a marvellous, wonderful way of measuring how you spend your time on this earth. Who cares how much money you've got? I don't. I want to walk along the beaches of Brighton or Bridlington and just wallow, if you can, in happiness that's all around us. The currency is different. It's not to do with pounds or dollars or euros. It's connected with the elation that you feel inside you. I'm talking so much about
it. Yeah, I think they're clapping your emotional exposition there. Jenny, you challenge first?
There were two U's, and he hesitated.
They were in a field.
I can't give you 2 points, Jenny. You get 1 point for a correct challenge. 17 seconds. Tell us something about the happiness index starting now.
Men carry their happiness index in their pants. Up, happy, down, sad. Women are much more complicated and our happiness index is affected by many things. Hormones, whether we can get into last year's jeans.
So, Jenny, Claire was in speaking as a whistle when gained that extra point. She's equal with Richard in third place, but they're only 1 point behind Paul, and he's only 1 point behind Tony. That is neck and neck, isn't it? Richard, we're back with you to begin. The subject, a romantic gesture. Tell us something about that in this game, starting now.
Love is a metaphysical nicety born out of the basest human needs, just the way our subconscious allows us to meet someone to mate with. But I am a very romantic man.
Poor chance.
Deviation, no, it isn't. he's taking the joy out of it. It isn't. It just
yeah,
isn't.
But Paul, he was expressing his opinion. It was a fact, but it must be his. But it must be his opinion as well. So, benefit of the doubt, I think, to Richard on this occasion. Keeps the subject, 52 seconds, a romantic gesture, starting now.
Every morning when I make my partner a bowl of porridge, I will take...
Jenny, challenge.
Well, I think I should point out that's a slight deviation. He's called her his partner. They are legally wed, and I think she would appreciate being called your wife. I think you've forgotten.
I was planning ahead that I thought I might mention she was my wife later on, so I thought I would...
No, clearly what's happening, he's making breakfast for his business partner. Something's going on there. What's your business partner doing staying around your place?
It's a difficult one to judge. Because you could say logically he's his wife, but she still is also his partner.
Yes.
But I'm going to give the benefit of the doubt. Richard's had two benefits. You're going to get the benefit of the doubt in this case.
I don't think I have.
Jenny, 48 seconds on a romantic gesture starting now.
Preparing a candlelit meal could be deemed a romantic gesture. Unless you've done kippers, there's nothing romantic about trying to give the old man a Heimlich manoeuvre on the kitchen table whilst you're screaming into his face.
Oh, Richard.
I think there was a Yehiz there.
Yehiz. That's his name. Yehiz! Dinner's ready.
Hesitation. Jenny had the benefit of the doubt last time. You have it this time, and there are 32 seconds. A romantic gesture is back with you, Richard, starting now.
When I first met my first wife... Oh.
Tony, you challenged.
There was a hesitation there.
And I said first twice as well. I'll give you that.
Well, he hesitated because he realised a mistake he'd made. But it's correct, Tony. A romantic gesture is with you, and there are 29 seconds... Why are you laughing at that? It's not funny. Starting now.
I'll tell you something that isn't a romantic gesture, and that's this.
Paul Chance.
I don't know where to start, really. Number one, that is definitely deviation.
Well, actually, I tell you, it's deviation because this is radio, and the... I can tell you it was pretty disgusting. And
you won't get £3.50 round the back of the theatre for that. That's all I'm saying. Well,
anyway, he did hesitate. So, Paul, you have 24 seconds on a romantic gesture starting now.
Touched as I am by these romantic gestures, they all pale into comparison with the 17th century Mughal Emperor Shah Jahan, who, so distraught by the death of his wife, Mumtaz, spent 25 years creating the Taj Mahal, which still to this day is the most romantic Indian restaurant in Streatham, South London. Chicken and
Jenny.
Just a tiny pause to take his much-deserved laugh.
I almost feel he should have a bonus point for the joke he made. That is a bonus point. You have the subject, a romantic gesture, Jenny, and there are 4 seconds starting now.
I know a bloke who gave his wife an engagement ring and hid it in a glass of champagne.
Oh. Now, you challenged before...
I am going to challenge this, because Jenny Eclair said, I know a bloke who gave his wife an engagement ring. Why would he be giving his wife an engagement ring? They were already married.
Jenny, what we can say is they're hoisted on your own petard.
But I don't think Richard's going to be able to keep going for the time
he's
left in this
round.
So you have the point, you have the subject, and you only have half a second. less than a quarter of a second, actually. A romantic gesture. Put that in your mouth now, darling.
At least you called her darling. I mean, that's quite romantic.
That would be the longest half second of your life.
I must explain to our listeners, I was suggesting to Sharon... Now, you saw what happened. I must tell the listener, I was persuading Sharon to put the whistle in.
It's not getting any better.
Because she only has a quarter of a second. Whoever's supposed to be speaking doesn't really matter. There's a quarter of a second to go and the time starts now.
Every Valentine.
Well done, Sharon. She bore that one magnificently. Well done. Well, I don't think I'll ever recover from that one. Certainly Sharon won't. Well, it's a very interesting situation at the end of that round because Richard Herring and Jenny Eclair are equal in second place and they're only 1 point behind Tony Hawkes and Paul Sinner, who are equal in first place. So we carry on. And Jenny, we're back with you to begin. The subject now is trash TV. Tell us something about that subject in this game starting now.
My partner, who is not my husband, just the old man, likes to watch Road Wars, which is dreadful people driving appallingly. It amuses him, but when I drive like that...
Richard,
repetition of drive.
Driving and drive.
Oh, no, there wasn't. You're right, yeah.
Driving and drive, that's Richard, all I can say is that she's played the game a few more times than you have, and it's very... So another point to Jenny. 45 seconds still available, Jenny. Trash TV starting now.
My guilty pleasure is Made in Chelsea. The only way is Essex. Jeremy Kyle, all that rubbish I can watch for hours on end, but I pretend that I'm reading books. Under my duvet, I'm not. I'm just watching trash telly.
Richard, you challenge.
You keep your telly under the duvet.
So have you got a challenge with
Well, just I'm interested to know more about why what she's doing with her television under a duvet. But yeah, it's true. I think it's a deviation from the truth.
No, she can have it wherever she wants it.
And I tend to do so.
But it's too late now, but you did miss the repetition of watching. So, 27 seconds, Jenny. Still with you, another point. Trash TV starting now.
There's a lot of it, isn't it, on the television? And sometimes you think, well, the only answer to this is to throw my television out of the...
Tony Challenge.
Repetition of television.
Probably.
In the title,
yes,
kind of.
Yes, the trash TV is on the card.
Yeah.
That's what I said.
Oh, so I'm not allowed to use the longer word?
Absolutely not. Not in this room.
Technically, we're going
to... I was deviating from being amusing. You're most welcome to this round.
Right. Trash TV is with you, Tony, starting... And you've got 18 seconds, starting now.
I decided to trash my TV last year. I don't want to be subjected to endless commercials and all the rubbish that's on in between. It's not edifying for a man of intellect of my extraordinary proportions. I sound a little bit big-headed.
So, let's give you the situation. An ascending order. Richard Herring is in fourth place, 1 point behind Paul Sinner, who's 1 point behind Jenny Eclair, who's 1 point behind Tony Hawkes. So it's very close as we go into the final round. And, Tony, will you begin it with this subject here? Your word against mine, 60 seconds as usual, starting now.
Your word won't stand a chance against mine. Mine has been to the gym, is keeping very fit... and is fitted with nuclear warheads. So, should your word come up against it, there will be no battle, because it will be a foregone conclusion that mine will be the victor. How I can continue in this vein for another 40 seconds is a mystery.
Jenny, challenge.
It was a mercy challenge.
I was interested. Sometimes you just want to leave someone going and see where they'll end up, though, don't you? I wish we could have left you
so
for a minute.
So, have you got a challenge when the rules are just a minute? I agree with the mercy.
I just saw panic in his eyes.
He was keeping going, though. He didn't hesitate.
Yeah, I'm sorry, it's an incorrect challenge.
No. You can have a bonus point, because we enjoyed the interruption. And Tony gets a point because it was an incorrect challenge. It's your word against mine, Tony, and there are 35 seconds starting now.
Imagine the court case, Hawkes against Cameron, representing the government. He has accused me of deviating on just a minute. It's his word against mine. Who would the public side with? I don't think there's any doubt. A politician or a comedian, I would like... I still don't want to.
You had that audience transfixed with absolute rubbish. So, Paul, you challenge first.
It was a sort of mixture of hesitation and deviation combined.
Well,
and
that
was
I
was unclear who was the politician and who was the comedian as well. That's...
Hesitation is right, Paul, and you're 12 seconds, and you take over the subject. Another point to you. Your word against mine, starting now.
Your word against mine, as I remember, was the original version of the hit television show Countdown. Filmed in 1981 with Richard Whiteley, the former mayor of Wet Wang, people simply had to come up with a word...
So, Paul Sinner was then speaking as a whistle went gain, that all-important extra point. And I'll give you the final situation. Richard Herring, who's not played the game as much as others, finished in a very strong fourth place. Third place, actually, Richard.
Oh, good.
Because we have two joint seconds, which is Paul Sinner and Jenny Eclair. But 1 point ahead was Tony Hawk. So we say, Tony, you are the winner this week. So it only remains for me to say thank you to these four fine players of the game, Tony Hawkes, Paul Sinner, Richard Herring and Jenny Eclair. I thank Sharon Leonard, who's helped me with the score, blown her whistle most delicately when the time was up. We thank our producer, Talusha Gilani. We're indebted to Ian Messiter, who created this amazing game. And we're very grateful to this lovely audience here at the Spa Theatre in Bridlington. So from them, from me, Nicholas Parsons, and the team, goodbye, and tune in again the next time we play Just a Minute.